So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, The Appearance of Lord Varaha, Text 8.
Advide namastu bhya.
Advide namastu bhya.
Harmas vidyatma shakti sho.
Harmas vidyatma shakti sho.
Yat prithveha yasho vishpa.
Yat prithveha yasho vishpa.
Amutra cha bhaved gati.
Amutra cha bhaved gati.
Tat.
That
the day he
give direction.
Nama.
My
obeisances
to
Bhya
unto you,
Karmasu,
in duties.
Idya,
O
worshipful one.
Atma Shakti Shu.
Within our working capacity. Yad.
Which.
Pritva.
Doing.
Iha.
In this world.
Yasha.
Fame.
Vishva.
Everywhere.
Amantra.
In the next world.
Cha
and
Bhavet,
it should be
Gati,
progress.
Translation.
O worshipful one,
please give us your direction
for the execution of duty
within our working capacity,
so that we can follow it
for fame in this life
and progress
in the next.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Brahma
is the direct recipient
of Vedic knowledge
from the personality of
Godhead.
And anyone
discharging
his entrusted
duties
in disciplic succession
from
Brahma
is sure
to gain fame
in this life
and salvation
in the
next.
The
disciplic succession
from Brahma
is called
the Brahma
Sampradaya,
and
it descends
as follows.
Brahma,
Narada,
Vyas,
Madhva Muni,
also called
Purna Pragya,
Padmanabha,
Nrihari,
Madhava,
Akshobhya,
Jayatirtha,
Jnana Sindhu,
Dayanidhi,
Vidyanidhi,
Rajendra,
Jayadharma,
Purushottama,
Brahmanyatirtha,
Vyasatirtha,
Lakshmipati,
Madhavendra
Puri,
Ishvara Puri,
Sri
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
Swarup
Damada,
and Rupa
Goswami and
others.
Sri
Raghunath Das
Goswami,
Krishna
Das Goswami,
Narottam
Das Thakur,
Vishwanath
Chakravarti,
Jagannath
Das Babaji,
Bhaktivinod
Thakur,
Gokishore
Das Babaji,
Srimad
Bhakti Siddhanta
Saraswati,
A.C.
Bhaktivedanta
Swami.
This
line of
disciplic
succession
from Brahma
is
spiritual,
whereas
the genealogical
succession
from Manu
is
material.
But
both are on
the progressive
march
towards
the same goal
of
Krishna
consciousness.
Tadvidehi
namastubhyam
karmas
vidyatma shakti
shu
yat
kritveha
yasho
vishvag
amutra
chapaved
gati.
O
worshipful
one,
please
give us your direction
for the
execution of
duty
within
our working
capacity,
so that we can
follow it
for fame
in this
life
and
progress
in the
next.
Yeah.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krishna Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Krishna Sri Chaitanya Vajikaparubhyasjakipa Sindhu Vyavacha Adhidhanam Padmevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa, his wife, are requesting direction from Lord Brahma. Perhaps more particularly in terms of their service as progenitors. Swayambhuva Manu is the father of mankind. All of humanity is coming from him. Him and Shatarupa. And indeed, it is said at least that this term, man, human, has its roots in the term Manu. So this is the basic idea, that we have to produce population as a service to you. So if you please, inspire us, guide us, help us. How can we do this very nicely? But of course we know, and Prabhupada is focusing on this here in the purport, that Lord Brahma is not only there for that material purpose of procreation and material development in this material world. But he is the head of our sampradaya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And Srila Prabhupada lists out all, not of course all the members, but generally all the main members generation by generation through the Brahma Sampradaya, from Brahma himself, who was directly instructed by Lord Krishna, all the way through to Srila Prabhupada himself. And it's interesting to note that Prabhupada includes himself in the disciplic succession. So Lord Brahma, as an instructor, as a teacher, as an authority, he's an authority when it comes to developing the material world and filling the material world with living entities in the right ways, so everything is done properly and all the species come in the right ways and live in the right places, and the planets are there, everything is arranged nicely for all the different species in all their different situations. Lord Brahma is the authority on that from Krishna. He's empowered by Lord Krishna for that. Even in his prayers to Lord Krishna in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, following the Brahma Vimohana Leela, Lord Brahma makes the point that even if someone were able to count the number of grains of sand on the beaches, in the desert, and so on, in the universe, and one was able to know that number, big number, or if someone was able to count the number of stars in the sky, it's also a very big number, or even if someone were able to count the number of atoms in the universe, now that's very big job, that is bigger than the others. But even if someone were able to do that, to do all those things, and arrive at some concrete figures, huge figures, but still, that number, those numbers, whatever they might be, billions and trillions and zillions and who knows, but that number, Lord Brahma says, it is not as great as the number of qualities that you have, my Lord. It's not as great. Of course, atoms. How many atoms in the universe? How many atoms in this temple room? How many atoms in any one of our bodies sitting here? This is all completely fantastic. Number of atoms in the universe, well, what can you say? But Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur makes the point in commenting on this point, at least, that Lord Brahma knows. He knows how many atoms in the universe. We, for us, it is something totally beyond us altogether. But Brahma knows. He knows the number of atoms. And the number of qualities that Krishna has is much greater than that. Inconceivable. Actually, it's infinite. And each quality is most extremely remarkable and most extremely extraordinary. And even Srila Sanatana Goswami makes the point in one of his purports in the 10th canto. There's one verse Lord Krishna is referred to as Gunatma. Gunatma means that he is the personality, the embodiment of all qualities. So Sanatana Goswami makes the point that Lord Krishna, not only does he have so many qualities, just an infinite number, but Krishna has for each and every single living being in existence, Krishna has one quality reserved, which he only exposes, only reveals to you. And then another one only to you. And then another one. So for each person, so this is like inconceivable times inconceivable. For every living entity, there is a particular quality, most amazing, which is only revealed to that living entity. So what can we say? So anyway, in terms of the material creation, so Lord Brahma, he's big authority. And he is quite qualified, capable of instructing Manu and his wife Shatarupa how to do their duties in those regards. But really, main thing, and we can see how Srila Prabhupada is focusing here, main thing is that Brahma is not only material authority, but he's great spiritual authority. So here, Swamibhuva Manu is making the point that please guide us so that we can, by your direction, do our duties according to our capacities as completely as possible, so that we can achieve in this life fame and progress in the next. Or in other words, so we can go back to Godhead. We can perfect our lives and become pure lovers of the Lord. So this is the main point, ultimately at least. And so Srila Prabhupada lists out the whole disciplic succession, at least the main members, generation by generation. Interesting little point, Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya Swarup Damodar, and then Sri Rupa Goswami and others. Normally, the one main member of the sampradaya in the particular generation is referred to, but in that generation there were lots, many very significant members of the sampradaya parampara who were all quite qualified to deliver that knowledge, deliver people, deliver the world. Yes, so this is Krishna consciousness. It comes in disciplic succession. It doesn't come by any sort of do-it-yourself process. In England, they have these shops, they are called DIY, do it yourself. And there are many things which, if you get tuned in a bit, get the right gear, and go for it, then you can do it yourself. Whereas normally you'd have to call in somebody, some expert plumber or carpenter or electrician, or someone who can lay the floor tiles, whatever it is. But no, you can do it yourself if you get it together. And so they have whole shops and chains of shops actually dedicated for that. But Krishna consciousness is never a DIY or do-it-yourself process. Of course, that doesn't mean that someone else does it all for you. But we have to take shelter. Under the disciplic succession, not just take shelter under anybody, like some material authority or some intellectual authority, but take shelter under someone or ones who are members, genuine members of the disciplic succession. Then they can give guidance, they can give inspiration, they can give correction. So that then the best is drawn out of you. Your potential capacity spiritually is drawn out of you. So then you can also become a devotee, you can also become a lover of the Lord and a perfect person. And then you can do the same thing. You can help others in exactly the same way to bring out their most innate capacities spiritually. This is Krishna consciousness. This is how it works. Eva Parampara Prapta. Probably most of us are familiar with that verse, chapter 4, verse 2. Lord Krishna is saying that, well, previously I personally gave this knowledge to Manu, by Vasvata Manu, actually, in that case. Or previously I gave that knowledge to the sun god, and then he passed it down, also through my Vasvata Manu. And then Evam Parampara Praptam, in that way the knowledge was transmitted, but Krishna says, Sakale Neha Mahata Yoga Nashta Parantapa. In course of time that succession was broken, and the science as it is appears to be lost. So therefore Krishna says to Arjuna there in Bhagavad Gita, therefore I've appeared now, and therefore I'm giving you that knowledge of Bhagavad Gita again. So somehow or other, just prior to the appearance of Lord Krishna, the parampara was interrupted. Sri Sri Radha Madhava Ki. The parampara was interrupted, and Lord Krishna had to step in, and Srila Vyasadeva had to step in, and in different ways the situation was corrected. actually in Tattvasandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami discusses this whole point of how Krishna appeared and how Vyasadeva appeared and the significance of our Vyasadeva. And he refers to this verse, chapter 4, verse 2, how the succession was broken. And Jiva Goswami refers to, he says, what happened was that the succession was broken due to the curse of Gotama, just before Krishna appeared, sometime before. And Baladeva Jibhushan, in his commentary on Tattvasandarbha, he refers to Varaha Purana, chapter 171 or so. And he says that what happened, how the succession was broken, was that there was a drought in the universe. Some big drought. Everyone was suffering. But Gotama performed austerities, some types of pious activities, and he got the mercy of Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma gave him the blessing that even though there's this great drought, or whatever happens under any circumstances, you will always have food. So then Gotama, at his ashram, there was plenty of food, even though there was huge drought going on. So many Brahmins and sages and rishis came and took shelter in Gotama's ashram, and they were fed sumptuously, despite the fact that there was this great drought and there was scarcity everywhere else. And after some time, the drought broke and there was rain and everything returned to normal. But those Brahmins and sages and people, they had become attached to Gotama, so they didn't want to leave. No. Gotama had become attached to them. He didn't want them to leave. But they wanted to leave and go home. But he wouldn't let them. Because, you know, Vedic standard is that the guest, when the guest wants to leave, he or she has to ask permission and receive permission. If they don't get permission, they can't leave. So he wouldn't give permission. And they didn't just say, well, look, sorry, we're going anyway. They stayed. But they wanted to leave. So they thought, what we have to do? We have to do something to create inauspiciousness around Gotama. So we will, apparently, because we're very pure Brahmins and sages and rishis, to maintain our purity, we will have to go. So they created an illusory cow. And one morning they placed the illusory cow on the path to the river where Gotama would go to take bath early in the morning. And as he walked down the path, it was dark, he hit the illusory cow. And those Brahmins and people, they came and they showed him, they said, look, you killed a cow. We can't stay here. We got to go. So they left. And Gotama was bewildered. Me? Kill a cow? How could I do that? And I was just walking down the path. So he found the illusory cow. Then he cursed all the Brahmins and sages in the universe. May your knowledge turn to ignorance. And according to Varaha Purana, this is what happened. And Jiva Goswami points this out in Tattvasandarbha. This is how the disciplic succession became broken, just prior to the appearance of Lord Krishna. So then Krishna appeared and re-established the succession Of course, we read here the succession that we read here. It kind of follows a slightly different course. Srila Vyasa, living in the Himalayas, when Madhvacharya went to the Himalayas, of course this is, you know, a long time after Lord Krishna was present here 5,000 years ago, so at that time when Madhvacharya was living, he met Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva instructed him. So therefore in our specific sampradaya, it goes in that way, from Vyasadeva to Madhva. But the basic point and principle is that Krishna consciousness is transmitted through sampradaya, not through some independent process. Sometimes you meet people, at least if you mix in the Hindu society at all, even nowadays, although everything has fallen to pieces at least 90%, but still you meet some people who have some great bhava, you could say in a certain sense of the term, some type of feeling for somebody. Hanuman, some big Hanuman Bhakta, or Ram Bhakta, or Krishna Bhakta, or Shiva Bhakta. And even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, one time he was on a preaching tour in South India, and he came to one town and the devotee said, you know, here, just nearby, there is a great Hanuman Bhakta. He, somehow, he is in communion with Hanuman. And he is just very amazing. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, on their insistence, he went and met this man. And this man was just Hanuman, Hanuman, Hanuman. Ram, 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 all the way. And all the other devotees, they were very impressed. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta asked him, is your connection to Hanuman, is it through anyone? Or is it just between you and him? And that Hanuman Bhakta said, it is direct. Just me and Hanuman. So then they left, and the devotees asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, so what do you think? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, I think he is bogus. Because it comes through disciplic succession. Even for that matter, you know, those who are from Hindu backgrounds or familiar with Hindu life in Hindu society, even the worship of demigods is done strictly, I mean actual proper worship, real worship of demigods, is also only done through sampradaya. They have. There are Shiva sampradayas, Durga sampradayas. They have fallen apart more than our Vaishnava sampradayas. So generally when you find some Shiva temple, Durga temple and so on, there's just no presence of sampradaya at all, and no connection at all. But traditionally, all these things are done through some type of sampradaya, some sort of disciplic succession, and this is how it works. This is how it works. Even some simple educational process of ABC, literally, there is always some sampradaya. This is the way knowledge is transmitted. It is never a do-it-yourself process. So in Krishna consciousness, it is always essential. 100%, 101 or 108%. Essential, the connection through disciplic succession. And through that, through the transmission of knowledge, Everything becomes, well, first of all, everything remains as it is and doesn't become deteriorated. But even in many cases, it becomes enriched. Srila Prabhupada talks in regard to Shukadeva Goswami. Prabhupada talks of the Shuka principle, that the parrot bites the mango or some fruit. And normally you would think, if a bird bites some fruit, then it becomes unusable, becomes contaminated. But when the parrot bites it, it becomes even richer and sweeter. This is the Shuka principle. So that point is also made in Tattvasandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami, that when the knowledge was passed from Krishna to Brahma to Narada, and then Vyas, and then from Vyas to Shukadeva. So of course that's a long story, but basically that happened. And eventually, a little later on, Shukadeva arrived on the banks of the Ganges, where Maharaj Parikshit was already there, and all the sages were already there. And he was preparing to fast to death, and he wanted to hear about Krishna to that time. So everyone was gathered, so many were gathered, and Narada was there. And Vyasadeva was there. But then Shukadeva appeared on the scene. And the question was, who is going to speak here? Who is actually going to speak about Krishna to Maharaj Parikshit? But when Shukadeva appeared on the scene, then everyone, including his spiritual master, Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva's spiritual master, Narada Muni, they all said, let him speak, Shukadeva. He is the most qualified. He will be able to present it the best. And Vyasadeva, when he heard the Bhagavatam as presented by Shukadeva, which he had given Shukadeva, and Narada, when he heard that Bhagavatam, which he had given Vyas, who had then given it to Shukadeva, both of them were astonished. The richness, the depth, they couldn't believe it. Is this what I transmitted? It seems even better. So this is the Shuka principle. Anyway, that's one thing, but at least, I mean, that's a very elevated thing, but at least the principle of parampara, disciplic succession, means that what Arjuna received on the battlefield of Kurukshetra from Krishna can be received even today. And the same benefit that Arjuna received, that same benefit can also be received even today through the system of disciplic succession. And as Arjuna's life was revolutionized, so anybody's life can be revolutionized, no less, even today, through the system of disciplic succession. So this is a very important, this very vital cornerstone, fundamental principle in Krishna consciousness, and Srila Prabhupada is stressing it here. Sometimes, I remember when Srila Prabhupada was present, sometimes someone would become a little sort of frustrated and lose faith even in Srila Prabhupada and say, "Ah, if only Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was here." Even some would say, I mean a few, handful, "Oh, if only Lord Chaitanya was here, then we would be okay." But we see, When Lord Chaitanya was here, in the case of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, then you would see in certain places Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, and first of all his struggle to get the shelter and the association of Lord Chaitanya, what he went through for that. Finally, he made it to Jagannath Puri, and he got the shelter of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was living there. So he was with Lord Chaitanya in his personal association. But then Lord Chaitanya handed him over to Swarup Damodar Goswami. There were three Raghunaths. Well, he was the third in Jagannath Puri. Raghunath Das was the third Raghunath. So when Lord Chaitanya handed him over to Swarup Damodar Goswami, he said, "We will call this Raghunath, we will call him Swarupira Raghu, the Raghunath of Swarup Damodar, to distinguish him from the other Raghunaths." Not just, you know, Raghunath 1, Raghunath 2, but Swarupira Raghunath, a much more cultured way. So then, Raghunath Das Goswami lived with and under the guidance of Swarup Damodar Goswami, and he more or less, at least to a great extent, he did not then approach Lord Chaitanya. But he would sometimes present something to Lord Chaitanya, but he would do that through Swarup Damodar Goswami. The Lord told Swarup Damodar that you accept this Raghunath, Putra, Britya, accept him as your son, accept him as your servant. So Swarup Damodar Goswami accepted him like that and guided him on a daily basis. Then eventually, from time to time, Raghunath Das would present a question and ask, "Could you ask Lord Chaitanya about this?" And Swarup Damodar would do that. But the connection was through Swarup Damodar. Raghunath Das, in one sense, we would expect, he could have just walked up to Lord Chaitanya and, because they were extremely close. But he didn't. He went through Swarup Damodar Goswami. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's very beautiful description how Raghunath Das asks Swarup Damodar, "You please ask Lord Chaitanya, what are my duties? What should I do in life?" So it's described there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya tells Swarup Damodar that you tell him he must not wear nice clothes. He must not associate with materialistic people. He must not eat fine foodstuffs. And he should worship Radha and Krishna within his mind. He should chant the holy names incessantly. And then, at least the first time, Lord Chaitanya, at least that it's recorded that he spoke, very, very famous verse. Lord Chaitanya told Swarup Damodar Goswami, "You tell Raghunath that he should chant in this way, Trinada Pisa Nichena, Torora Pisa Ishmina, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari." You tell him he must chant in that way. So then Swarup Damodar Goswami repeated those instructions to Raghunath Das Goswami, and we know that Raghunath Das, he dedicated his life absolutely to those instructions, but he took them in disciplic succession through Swarup Damodar. Later, Lord Chaitanya left this world, and Swarup Damodar Goswami left this world. And Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, he was thinking, well, Lord Chaitanya had given him a Govardhan Shila, and Swarup Damodar Goswami had given him Gunjamala, which, I don't know, I suppose it's been changed by now, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita is translated as a garland of conch sounds. But anyway, it's something a little different. Maybe it's been updated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, our Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Raghunath Das was thinking what to do. And he said, yes, Lord Chaitanya gave me Govardhan Shila, so that means I should take shelter of Govardhan Hill. And Swarup Damodar gave me Gunjamala. So I should worship in that Vrindavan spirit. So he thought, when they left this world, he thought, let me go to Govardhan Hill. I will climb it, even though it is not done really by us. But I'm going to do it. And I'm just going to throw myself off the top and just get smashed to pieces on the rocks of Govardhan Hill and leave this world. That's what I'm going to do. So he went there to Vrindavan with that intention. But when he arrived, he met Srila Rupa Goswami. And when he met Srila Rupa Goswami, something clicked, so to speak, in their relationship, even more so than in his relationship with Swarup Damodar Goswami. So finally, he took complete shelter under the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, and then everything became complete for Raghunath Das Goswami. Then he became the great Raghunath Das Goswami, member of the six Goswamis, under the shelter of Srila Rupa Goswami. Even more complete through Rupa Goswami than directly with Swarup Damodar Goswami. So very interesting how the system of disciplic succession is there, and in so many situations, in so many ways, in so many relationships, that system is applied and respected, and its glorious transcendental nature is shown. So Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, then he lived out the rest of his life at Radhakund under the shelter of Rupa Goswami, and renovated Radhakund and so on under the shelter of Rupa Goswami. There's very nice description how Raghunath Das was living there at Radhakund, and he was following those instructions which had come from Lord Chaitanya, leading extremely austere life, offering his obeisances to deities, offering his obeisances to devotees every day, hundreds, thousands of times. In his old age, when he would offer his dandavat, sometimes he couldn't stand up. They would have to pick him up. So there's a very nice description. One time, he was offering his dandavats. He couldn't stand up in front of some deities. Some devotees came around. They found Raghunath Das Goswami just lying there on the ground. They picked him up and they told him, you know, you don't have to do this any longer, because he was very old at that time. You're such a great devotee. You can just stand there and just offer your pranams in front of the deities. Krishna will understand, and it won't be so inconvenient and uncomfortable for you. So Raghunath Das Goswami said, yes, very good, thank you, thank you. they left. Next day they came around Radhakund again. They stopped at the same temple at the same time. There was Raghunath Das Goswami, flat on the ground, offering obeisances. He couldn't stand up again. So he accepted those instructions. But they came in parampara. So that same system which Krishna applied, which is being applied here in this particular incident in Bhagavatam, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, that same principle is here today. That is eternal principle of disciplic succession. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for being with us.